wonderful place to be, Beulah Land.
If you can find the book of Amos, why don't you turn to it? I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read in chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, and you follow along with me. This is Amos 4:9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmerworm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence, after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you are as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings of living in Beulah Land. We thank you for the blessings of living as a Christian. You watching over us, leading us and guiding us and helping us and protecting us, answering our prayer, leading us back to you when we go astray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We're thankful, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At verse 12, the last part of that verse, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I was a Boy Scout a couple of years. Had a lot of fun. I've had fun most of my life, by the way. I don't know whether it's just an attitude. Maybe my head was formed a certain way, and maybe that affects whatever I do, but I'm still having fun. I'm an old man, and I'm still having fun, but I've had fun all my life. And I had fun as a Boy Scout. Do you know what the scout motto is? Be prepared. Be prepared. Don't you want to be prepared?
Amen.
Now, it's true that many, many things that we worry about, we never meet. We probably worry about a whole lot more than we'll ever see. I know I do. I can lay awake all night planning my strategy and what I'm going to do, how I'm going to say this, and it doesn't happen, you know? So we worry about a lot more things than really ever come to pass in our life. And I would personally like to have insurance that I never collected on. I don't want to collect on my insurance. I'm willing to pay it. I'm willing because I don't want the chance of that happening to me. I want car insurance. I want flood insurance. I want fire insurance. I would like to have thief insurance. I don't know whether they give that or not, you know. I'm not sure about it. But we've got a lot of things like that. What do you have in your car? Well, I've got a gun. I've got a spare tire. I've got a jack. I got tooth. I got a telephone. What do you have in your car? I know I'm not really capable with one of these new telephones. I'm just not. They're just too much for me. I only want a telephone. I never turn it on. You can't call me on my cell phone. There's no way. I gotta call you. I got it so if I have a wreck or a flat or a spare tire that, you know, goes bad, I can call somebody else. It's be prepared. You know, I've got that phone in that car, so I'm prepared if something happens. Does anything ever happen to you? I've had flat tires. I've had blowouts going 70, 80 miles an hour. We have things that come, don't they? I've been stung by a bee while I'm driving my car. And you don't drive too well like that, do you? So we want life insurance and health insurance and car insurance. We want retirement. We got a lot of things we want in our day, don't we? We want medicine for bee stings. I just a few years back got stung 40 times by bees on my place at one time. And then I found out how to kill them. And I got rid of those bees. Now, I know we're supposed to help the bees out. But sometimes they get in my territory where I've been down by a bush and 40 of them hit me. Then they're dead bees, as far as I'm concerned. You ever keep aspirin with you? Some of you are carrying medicine right now. I bet 70% of the people in here, men or women, have some medicine on them right now. Be prepared. That's what insurance is for. I don't really want to collect, you understand? I would a whole lot rather pay every year for insurance and never collect. When I retired and my wife retired, she wanted insurance for long-term care. And she wanted us both to buy it. Well, I'm a diabetic. They wouldn't sell me any. There wasn't any insurance I could get. So, oh boy, we better save money or we better do something to have because they're not going to cover me. Bless your heart. We paid for hers 10 years and she never used it. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we didn't have to use it. Be prepared. Are you prepared? Are you the type of person that needs to be prepared? You know, my brother-in-law, John Newman, he's always prepared. I guarantee you he's got tools and he's got money and he's got something else and he's prepared. My other brother-in-law, Mr. Riddle, he lived to be 50. He died of a heart attack when he was 50. But the man was a twin, and when my sister married him, I could not tell the difference between him and his twin. Took me a long time. They were just perfect twins. They were tremendous athletes. When they were in high school, they were all city in the city of Memphis in baseball, basketball, and football, both of them. And in fact, they got a major league contract out of high school. Now, that's pretty good. He could take a ball and make that thing do. I couldn't believe it. I was a pretty good athlete myself. I loved all types of athletics. But go out and play ball with that guy? Good night. He could curve it up and down and around, and he just was a very talented man. He was a barber over at Wonderland for a number of years. And he had an old car that he drove back and forth to work. It wasn't a nice car. It wasn't a big car, a new car. It was just that old clunker to go 5 miles to work and back. And my sister had the nice car. They had two cars. Well, I was aware one day when he got a flat. And he opened up his trunk, took his spare tire out, changed it out real quick, put the old flat back in the trunk and went on his way. 6 months later, I was visiting with him. They happened to open up the trunk, and there was the flat, still flat. He was prepared for the first time. He wasn't prepared for the next time. How prepared are you? Are you a Boy Scout? Be prepared. That's a pretty good motto. I tell you what, that's a pretty good motto. You ought to think about that. You ought to have some tools in your car. You ought to have you ought to fix your flat tire when you get a flat. So that you're not going to get caught about it some other way. God has been dealing with His people, Israel. And notice, I had a little word in there yet on several verses. Verse 9, I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. The palmer worm devoured your vineyards and your gardens. Yet, have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord? Look at the next verse, 10, down to the end of it. He said, your young men have been slain with a sword. Yet, have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord? Verse 11, I've overthrown some of you like you overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet, have you not returned unto me, thus saith the Lord? Do you know God controls wind and rain? God controls an awful lot of things. I've been prepared to die for about 58 years. I got prepared by coming to Jesus Christ. I didn't think much about death when I was young. I didn't think I was going to die. I thought I was almost bulletproof and 10 foot tall, you know, when I was a teenager. Some of you thought the same way. Some of you may still think that way. But you know what? When I was in the military, a good buddy of mine, 22-year-old from Tennessee, he died on my truck and my run. And he was doing the job just about the same way I would have done the job. I've thought about it many times. 22-year-olds can die. 21-year-olds can die. Are you prepared? That's the thing. Are you prepared? Because you need to prepare for some things in this life. It just makes good sense to be prepared for an awful lot of things. Why do you raise your kids? Why do you go to the trouble to make them obey, teach them what they ought to do? You're trying to prepare them for life. In all the marriages I've ever been to or performed, somewhere it said for better or worse. It's gonna get worse. I know you don't believe me, but ask the ones in here with experience. Honeymoons don't last forever. It would be wonderful if they did. But honeymoons don't last forever, and you can't live on love. Somebody's got to wash a dish every once in a while. Amen? It may be you, but... We're not all Boy Scouts, but I believe in being prepared. Can you be totally prepared? No. I want you to know what you don't expect is going to come your way. So no matter how much you prepare, many of the things you prepare for will never come your way. And so if you lay awake like I do, worrying about things, how I'm going to handle things tomorrow and in the next whatever, then you're going to waste a whole lot of your time. But you still need to be prepared. Now, here's what he said. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee. He said, I've tried to warn you. I have given you punishment after punishment. I have tried to get your attention that you need to pay attention to me, not the things you're doing. And God said, he says he brought these things. Suffering, loss, death, pain, all of them came. And what was he wanting you to do? Call on God. Repent of your sins. Change your ways. Get back right with God. That's what he wanted you to do. Get prepared to meet God. Why? You better get prepared now because he said, you're going to meet God. I know. I see some of these young men in their pride. I'll tell the old man about it when I get up there. I'm going to talk to him about that, and I'm going to have my way. Yeah, you will. His best friend in Revelation chapter 1, when he met Jesus in his glory, simply fell at his feet dead. He was just, had no energy. He had no life. He had no spirit. And you're going to be worse. You haven't acted like his best friend. You don't speak like his best friend. You don't treat him with honor like he ought to be treated with honor. You're not paying attention when God brings some punishment your way. You think, well, just the luck of the draw. Hey, have you ever thought God might have been trying to get your attention? I tell you what I think. Every time something bad happens, I've had things bad happen to me and in my family. It's one of the first things I do is say, Lord, you trying to show me something? Lord, do you have a message for me? Lord, are we doing it right? Are we doing it wrong? Be prepared. Now he said, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God? Well, I tell you, an awful lot of people aren't. And it's what he's telling his people here in this particular instance in Amos, prepare to meet thy God. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse than death and famine and diseases and all of the things that he's mentioned in this chapter. It's going to get worse, and you're going to meet God. So be prepared. Now, what should you be prepared for? Well, one of the things is the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4:13. Listen to this. Can be a very, very beautiful passage and a comforting passage. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. Now those words are a comfort to a Christian.
Amen.
That's a comfort to me. I would like to go out at the rapture.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a thrill?
Amen.
I mean, I'm driving down Broadway and all this traffic, and I'm fussing at all this traffic. I've gotten, woof! I fly off into the sky, never to come into trouble again.
Amen.
Wow! But what about if you're not saved? What if you're in here today and you're not saved? You haven't repented of your sins. You haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted his salvation. You haven't asked him for mercy. You haven't believed what he told you in the truth that he has. You're not ready. You're not ready for the rapture. When can the rapture take place? What has to be done? What sign in the Old Testament or the New Testament that has not been fulfilled for the rapture to take place? Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
There's nothing has to happen. When's it going to come? Well, I don't know. It might be before I preach this sermon. Might be before we go to lunch today. It might not be for 100 years. I don't know. I got to at one time in my life figuring times and seasons And I made some poor kids think they never were going to get grown. I had one of them telling me about it just the other day. I remember when you were preaching about the rapture and Revelation and whatever, and I wanted to have babies. Well, she got about 7 or 8 now, I think. So my preaching and predicting on the rapture, no, you don't know when. I don't know when. God's got it in his own time, and he'll do it when he pleases. But if you're not saved, that's one thing you ought to fear, because once that happens, and you've been around where the gospel was preached, you'll never believe. You'll die and go to hell. You'll go through all sorts of trouble and tribulation on the face of the earth. Yeah, I would say one thing you ought to be prepared for is the rapture. Then, look at at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, if you want to understand the end times, you need to study Daniel and the book of Revelation. They go together beautifully. And it explains history from past and prophecies. And then what is in Revelation is prophecy too. And it's about the end times. And it carries you all the way up to the end. You study these two books, you can understand the future. A lot about the future. Nobody can understand it all. But anyway, it says in Daniel 12:1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be written found in the book." A time of trouble like no other. You ever read the book of Revelation? There's some chapters in there that ought to scare the pants off of you. If you're going to go through that, wow. I don't believe us born-again Christians are going to go through that. I believe at chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelation, the church goes out. And she's in the heaven, rejoicing, getting married to Jesus Christ while all that trouble is happening on the earth. Praise the Lord. Another good reason to get saved. Let me tell you something. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the rapture? You prepared for your friends that are saved, your wife or husband that's saved, your children that are saved, or your parents are saved? You prepared for them to go out and you be left behind in the greatest trouble the world has ever seen. Has the world ever seen any trouble? You think this world saw any trouble when Hitler was around and Stalin was around? How about Genghis Khan, Tamerlane? World ever seen any trouble? Why, listen, there's 100 wars going on right now at this moment on the face of this earth. People are being killed. People are starving. People are being tortured. There's slavery all around the world. You just happen to live in a wonderful bubble called America. Boy, what a blessing. What a wonderful thing God did for you to let you be born here. Wow. Yeah, greatest time of trouble. Look at Revelation chapter 13. If you study this chapter 13 out, you're going to find out that the devil's going to take control by the Antichrist. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have a world government that you won't like. You're going to have a world religion that you've got to apply with. And the economics of the world, you'll have to go along with them or they'll kill you. Verse 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark and the name of the beast." Are you prepared? Are you ready for this? It's coming. It's going to come. It might start today. It could start a year from now. It hasn't come yet. Don't let anybody tell you that Revelation is already fulfilled. It is not fulfilled. It has not come yet. We have not hit chapter 4, verse 1. We may be in the last days of those church chapters. I believe we are. But how much longer do we have? I don't know, but you need to be prepared. It's like having a jack in the back of your car. It's like having a tube. It's like having a telephone. It's like having insurance. It's like having friends. You need to be prepared. You're going to meet God, and you're going to meet a lot of things in this life besides meeting God. You ought to be prepared. You ought to be a little bit of a Boy Scout. Look at Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Do you know what you're appointed to? Death.
Amen.
Death. I've been reading a book that I'm just fascinated by. It is a doctor who was an evolutionist, and he became a believer. And he wrote a book on the things that Darwin didn't know in 1800. And I think it's wonderful as an answer to evolution. Everywhere through it, it's just as solid and simple as can be. But it's also wonderful another way. His description of your body, how many cells you're going to have, and each one of those cells is unique in itself. And you can take one cell and replicate you. You think that's an accident? No. That's a super plan by a super brain and a superpower. I'm loving it. The idea, and he explains it, it's so simple, but in your little pea brain, it's more complex than the universe. All of what's up there. And in your body, think of all the things that are living right now, each one of us individually, in our own bodies, in order for us to live. And if we didn't have these microbes and these other things, we wouldn't be alive. You've got in your mouth right now things that could kill you quickly. All they have to do is get to the spinal cord, the spinal fluid. It's a fascinating book. All of these things have to live for me to live. What a creation. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, we are. It ought to make you in awe of God, not reject God. Are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God? Wow. I don't think you'll have much energy to stand up to Him when you meet Him. He's so much bigger than anything you've ever seen.
Amen.
I don't think you're going to ask Him all those questions you tell me you're going to ask Him.
Right.
Yeah, when I get up there, I want to ask the Lord, why? Now you'll be in such awe. You will be in such awe, you'll just fall at His feet and say, praise You, Lord. That's how big God is. Death and judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Let me ask you something. Are you prepared for the judgment? Do you have an answer for all of your lust? Do you have an answer for your selfishness? Do you have an answer for your anger? Have you got a good reason to go to God and give an answer for your sins? The way you live, the way you think, the way you are. Do you have an answer? Are you prepared to meet God in judgment? I don't think you are.
No, sir. Amen.
I don't think you are. I don't think you've got an answer anywhere for all of these things. Go back to that verse that we started with. Amos 4:12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now I want to tell you, that's not just for Israel, that's for you. One of the things I've been preaching for 58 years is you need to be prepared. And you in yourself are not prepared. The most religious person I've ever met is not prepared. You know what you have to do to be prepared? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's
Amen.
The truth. He's the life. And then He makes an audacious statement. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I know people that are going to go to hell because they can't take that. I know people that are going to go. I know a loved one of mine. I believe is in hell. And it was for that thing that you had to have Jesus Christ to pay your debt or you didn't get in. God help you. Prepare to meet thy God. That's what you're here for. You know why you were put on this earth? To prepare you to meet God and to serve Him the rest of your days. Amen. Wherever that is.
Amen.
That's why you're here. You weren't here because He needed someone with your looks or your brains or your money or your ability or you're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps or whatever other imaginable thing you got in that little brain of yours, that fantastic little brain of yours. Wow. How come it keeps your heart pumping this as long? If it quits pumping, you're dead. You talk about a machine.
Thank you, Lord.
You talk about faithfulness.
Amen.
You talk about what you could do. Wow. Wow. It's tremendous. And God did it all so that you could meet Him. That's the ultimate answer. You're not here just to make a lot of money and hoard it up and put it in the house and have to move it someday. God put you here to be prepared to meet Him. And you're going to meet God. Not a one of us will miss out on meeting God. One of these days, all of you that believe in evolution, I never did. I'm sorry. I went to school and they began to talk to me about evolution. And I wasn't even saved, but I said I couldn't believe that. That was too wild for me in my imagination. I had a lot of fun in science classes and college too. But I didn't ever believe in evolution. Well, if you did, fine. You were sweet people and you obeyed your teachers. I wasn't always sweet and I didn't always obey my teachers. In fact, I thought I was smarter than them a whole lot of time. Did anybody else think they were smarter than their teachers sometime? Nobody will raise their hand with me on that one. Oh, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a very exclusive club. You have to take Jesus, and if you don't take Jesus, you don't get in.
Amen.
If you don't take Jesus, you do not please God. If you don't take Jesus, your sins are never forgiven. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you work. I don't care how much you give to the church or go out and help little old ladies across the street or a little old man across the street or maybe a big fat man across the street. It won't help you. It won't help you. You have to belong to Jesus Christ. You have to have accepted that you are a sinner that has no merit. And what Jesus offers you, I will forgive all your sins. I will dress you up in my righteousness. And you will go to heaven on my merit. That's the only way. It's not how good you are. Hell's going to be full of good people. That's right. I think hell's going to be full of a lot of preachers. Faithful religious people. But heaven's going to be full of sinners saved by grace. Heaven's going to be full of people who recognize Jesus as Lord. And bow the knee and confess the name and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You need a little Boy Scout in you today. You need to get prepared. Are you prepared? If you're not, it's very simple. By faith, believing what the Word says. Come on down here and get on your knees right there and ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, help me, save me,
Amen.
Have mercy upon me.
Amen.
I'm just a sinner. I need to be saved by grace.
Amen.
He won't turn you down.
Amen.
He won't turn you down.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He saved me. He'll save you if you'll call. You know what happened to me? That friend of mine got saved on a gasoline truck. I mean, got dead because of an accident on a gasoline truck. And it shook me. And then I went to church, and a preacher preached the gospel. And I didn't really accept it that way, but I went home. And I laid in the bed, singing the old hymns that I knew. And my wife, who was a sleepyhead, she said, "If you're going to sing all night, would you please go in the other room?" She didn't care a thing about my soul at that time. All she thought about was her sleep. And I walked into that front bedroom, and I had one little boy and another one in the hangar getting ready to come. But that little boy, wow, I loved him. He got a hold of me as soon as he came. And I said, if he turns out in proportion to me, as I turned out in proportion to my dad, he's going to be the devil himself. And I said, Lord, I need to be saved. And I began to confess sins. I didn't know any better. I just confessed everything I could think of. Everything I'd ever done. Things I'd stolen. Things I'd lied about. Things I'd lusted after. All. I did what the Pentecostals call praying through. Somewhere between about 11 at night and 2:30 in the morning, I got saved. And when I got saved, it was just automatic. I'll preach the gospel. Same night. It was a gift. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it now. I have never deserved the blessings God has put upon my life. But I just came to him, and whatever he wanted, he could have. Why don't you just come to him? Christian friend, maybe God's spoken to you. I don't know. Are you ready to meet your God? You're going to meet him. Wow, in person. In vivid color. It'll be the biggest wow day of your life. Nothing to compare to it. Let's sing a song. Would you stand?